I'd like to look at a scripture starting out at Ephesians, 4th chapter. I'll pick it up with the 11th verse. It says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." The Lord knows what he's doing, and he's making provisions for us. We need in our lives, we need teachers. We need pastors. We need people with the gifts of God in their lives, because he gives them for the benefit of the whole. And you may say, well, we wouldn't want it any other way. But there's two sides of it. There's two places. There's one place to where we're willing to accept other people's gifts. But there's no place that there shouldn't be something being given to the whole. We are a family. We are a group of people brought together. No other situation that can come to my mind that I can say that in a group of people brought together, that a few people would do something for everybody and everybody else would just take that and do nothing. Would we accept that behavior in any other place? I mean, for instance, if we were all going to get together and live together for a while, would we accept the fact that we two or three people would cook and nobody else would? Everybody, two or three people would work and gather up. You remember the little story? I used to tell it when I was a child. What was it? The little red hen or hen? What was it? The little hen that said, "I'm going to go plant some corn. I'll plant some. You want to help?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the dog. "I'm going to go do it." And then, "Who wants to help me reap it?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not me. No, not the dog. Not the pig. Nobody." And it went through the thing, and then at the end, the little hen says, "I ain't going to bake the bread. Anybody want to?" "Nope, not me. Not I," said the cat. "Well, now it's baked and ready to eat it. Who wants to help eat it?" And that story is told with a given understanding. You didn't plant, you didn't hoe, you didn't help, you didn't do anything. Now it comes time to eat, and there's an acceptable that I'm going to eat without putting anything else into it. He gave gifts to people. He gave gifts to people. I don't know what the all it may entail. I know everybody's not going to be preaching, but this is what I believe the heart of God is, to bring everyone to a place of benefiting the whole. And I believe in it. And listen, I'm not the judge of it, or neither would I try. Because it would be impossible to know the value of the prayers that you prayed. That may be your part. But there is an expectation. There is a part. Well, let's have a revival. Now, I don't want to be critical. I'm just going to tell you part of my life story and the way I've seen and understood things. There's certain certain places and certain people that feel like that the preacher has the job of doing everything. And I don't believe that's true. In other words, let's go and have an outreach. Let's have a revival. Let's do the revival. And then it'll say, well, preacher, I got somebody for you to visit. I got somebody I want you to invite. And all of that. And I'm always thinking, well, wait a minute. I'm going to be as diligent as I know how to seek the inspiration of God for the calling He's given me. I'm going to pray that the Lord would send the honest souls. I'm going to do a part, and maybe there's possibly in the thing, maybe a part for you. Wouldn't you think that if God put a family in your life that maybe you'd be responsible for showing them the love of God and being there in their life and inviting them to service that you go to and appreciate? So there would be a part for everybody. It's not, the Lord gave all these things for an edification of the whole body. But the whole body, once edified, is supposed to accomplish, supposed to be in a place. So listen to how he says it. For he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now listen to the language. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. I want to talk to us tonight about a perfect man. Being able to get to a place of the fullness of, or the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Now, the comparison here in this scripture, in its language, is a comparison between the perfect man and children. We're not being derogatory towards children. Children is a natural process. You start out that way. You start out a child. There's nothing derogatory about that. There's nothing in my language that whatever I say, I want you to know that I was a child one time and you were and everybody, and it's a natural process. But what the writer here is saying is that we would be no more children. That the work of God, the perfecting, becoming a perfect man, this isn't gender specific, it's talking about all, it would come to this kind of a perfection in our lives, and here is the analogy, that we'd be no more children. Children have a place in home and family. Children need to be nurtured. Brother back there is holding a baby, a small baby. He's moving it to and fro right now. I was watching him do it. He's rocking the baby, bringing it to and fro. I don't want to embarrass him, but that's why he's rocking the baby. Everybody doesn't rock the baby. This is the language that was used in here. You're not to be rocked anymore. I mean, there's a place, there's a time to come on about that. Now, in my life, and again, I don't want to sound critical, but in my life, I think about things, and I look into things, and I wonder about things, and I've seen people get critical before. I've seen people get critical about the church and the ones in the church. And I noticed that the people that would get critical and say things like, the church isn't helping me like they should help me. The church isn't helping me financially the way they should help me. The church isn't doing what they want. Almost every time that I ever seen it, the people that were saying that was people that never helped anybody. Ever. They was always in a place to say, help me. Help me. Rock me to and fro. You encourage me. Well, I didn't go to church for 2 weeks and nobody even called me. And year after year after year be the ones that say, well, when they didn't even care enough to call. And you know this. And I'm sitting and thinking, how long are you going to have to hit the bottle and nurse and take it to and fro and toss you around and give you life? How long are you going to be able to take care of like that? Because that's not the plan. And do you know what the plan really is? Children are ignorant. It isn't a bad word. It's a real word. It means they don't have knowledge and understanding. Have you ever seen a 10-year-old pastor? Now, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. Has anybody in here seen a 10-year-old pastor? No. It wouldn't fit. And it wouldn't work. And it wasn't what God designed. The pastor's supposed to be in a place where he's fought some battles and prayed some prayers and been in a place, and he's been into a place to where he's grown up. Him or her, he's grown up to something more. In a sin, we don't send our, well, it'd be hard to get around, but we don't send 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds out in evangelist work. If they got an evangelist spirit, let them do it at school, or, I mean, they can witness in a certain way, but they're not called to be an evangelist that, because they're ignorant. They're not learned. They don't understand the deeper thing. They've not been through life. They haven't learned the things that God will teach them if they go on. But there's a process there of growing up. And the scripture says, we're going to bring you to a perfect man through the apostles and through the prophets and through the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers. We're going to bring you to a perfect man. For what? For what? For perfection. Perfection for what? We're a part of a people. We're part of a group. I expect that once, my wife expects it too, when our children start getting to a certain age, they start doing things to the benefit of the family. They don't have to go out. They don't have to go out and work 8-10 hour days bringing in the money. They don't have to do that. But they do have to wash the dishes. They do have to start taking out the trash. They do have to start bringing the wood in. They do have to start being a benefit to the whole. This is what the Lord wants each and every one of us to come to and not look at it as if I'm in a place. Thank God there's a place that there's a care. That there's a care over us. Of one another. You get in trouble and you have needs, there's hands that'll handle. There's people that will do and those kind of things. But we're not leeches, folks. We're not to be leeches off of that. We're to come to a place that I put in my bit. You got a bit? If you're in this, you have a bit. You have a part. There's something that you want you to come to a fullness of man. Let me tell you the difference of way, the thoughts of the difference of what a man would be. I'm talking about grown to his potential, grown up to it, strong, able to be able to lift the law. I'm saying the difference between a child and a man. You got a man in your home? Well, I got a young man. I got a young man starting. I tell you how I know he's a young man. Because now I say, son, get off the other end of this. There's things that daddy can't do. I try sometimes. I mean, I've had many recliners up on my shoulder by myself. Grab a hold of a desk or something, flip it up and balance it and pack it around. It's been hard on old fella to do it now. So, but you know what I got? I got a young man that's coming along and I'll say, hey, come and get a hold of this. I had a generator the other day, 238 pounds. No way I'd even attempt anything like that. Wasn't on wheels. But I said, come on, let you get one end, I'll get the other end. And you know what? We was able to work, to put that in its proper place because he's up being able to start doing those things. You know, spiritually, the Lord wants us to grow up to be a benefit. The call is be a benefit to the whole. Put in your blessings. Put in what God is giving you. I know we have Wednesday night service. I don't know. I guess you all have Wednesday night service on a normal course. It's Wednesday night now, but I mean on some normal course. You have prayer meeting? You give testimonies? You know, if we're not careful, our Wednesday night service becomes, I got to go to church tonight. I'm going to tell you what's expected. What's expected on Sundays at home is that Brother Marty, I don't have the expectation that I'm going to do everything. I don't have the expectation that I should have, or that I'd say it'd be a blessing, don't get me wrong, but I mean, honestly, when I go and say, I shouldn't have to call the first song, then lead the service, and then pray before Sunday school, then do Sunday school, then dismiss Sunday school, then take prayer, call the songs, and then take prayer requests for the next service, and then pray before the service, then preach, and then dismiss prayer. I don't expect that. I feel like I have a duty, but I don't think the duty incorporates all that as long as there's one person out there that's sucking in oxygen. Somebody can help out in this thing. It's not all about one person. I mean, when it comes to prayer, I know that everybody can do it. I know everybody's even commanded to do it, encouraged to do it. Maybe everybody's not just a gifted at the public prayer type thing, but prayer is so necessary and a part of our services. And I want the Lord to help us here with this burden, because honestly, we lack sometimes. Because there ought to be most everybody that's been saved for a while be interested in being a part of something that's going on. It's what we're doing. I have an anticipation. I know at home, I don't do all those things but at home, by the way. But I want to say this. There is a lot of room. There is a lot of room to give your, you can do it. You ought to be encouraged to do it. I want you to be encouraged tonight to seek God for that place to where you can grow up in the Lord. Be a part of, and say, it's my responsibility as a grown adult Christian to add something to the whole. I know it's set and take in all the time and drain it all the time and pull in all the time. That's okay. I don't expect the little baby back here to do much more than bounce up in his daddy's arms. Nobody else does either. I'm going to tell you, if it's 20 years old, if she's 20 years old, she shouldn't be sitting back there being rocked. It's time to get up. It's time to do some things. Same thing spiritually. The apostle says, let's be no more children. Because I've given you something to perfect you. To perfect you to what? To duty. You expect it. You expect the labor of a man. Don't you? I mean, if there's a man that doesn't have a mental or physical disability that grows up, don't you expect? I'm going to tell you, one of the downfalls of this nation is the fact that it's taught people to be lazy and not do anything. It's not God's way. It's not the way it is. When you grow up, you're supposed to add to the whole. You're supposed to add to the group, the whole thing, and stand a man and be able to do some things. And it is even doubly true for the church. God wants to bring us to a perfection that means that now I don't need the preacher to pray a prayer of faith. I don't need the preacher to go and invite my neighbors to come to service. I don't need a preacher. You call the preacher if you need help, because we all are one body working towards the same thing. And when you say, I think this load is a little bit bigger for me, I'm going to call for help. You know, I know this. I know that it would encourage the ministry, if the body would say, brother, sister, and you got too much to carry, you call me, because I'm grown up. The Lord been working on me, and it's time for me to do something. So when you get that call in the night, 3 o'clock in the night, you call me, and I'll get up and labor in prayer. Is that all right? When I was, I was saved and wanted to live for the Lord. Be honest with you, I felt like the Lord done enough for me that I ought to want to do something for Him. And there come a time way back early in my ministry. I've taught this many times. Probably many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you would. Sister Tinsley was in our congregation. She was an invalided elderly lady. By the time I come there, she's been invalided for years. It was a mental problem that she had. She really physically wasn't nothing wrong with her, but she had a mental thing, and she stayed in bed and this thing. And she had called Brother Sammons, and she was very good about her spells. She had breathing spells, and she was very good about them. She could just about dictate when she was going to have one, and so that was handy, because if you had to work the next day, she wouldn't impose on you too much. And if she knew it, she would wait till the next night when you was free to have a spell. And anyway, they went and labored with her and sung to her. And listen, I'm no singer. I can't hardly carry a tune sometimes. But you know, the Sister Tansy was up there, and I ended up telling Brother Tony and Brother Sam, and you know what I told him? I said, I want to look work for the Lord. Have Sister Tinsley call me. I would like to have the experience of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and praying for people, because I wasn't really in anybody's loop. You got to be in a loop sometime to get the right things, you know. And I'm saying, well, I want somebody to call me. I want to know what it's like to meet God in the middle of the night and those kind of things. And so they told Sister Jen, well, I got this young guy starting ministry. And yeah, we well, okay. And God's called me. And so when she would set her schedule and Brother Sammons wasn't there and I wasn't on the job, well, she'd call me in the middle of the night. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there was rich things involved with the Lord in the middle of the night with me. And I know what Sister Tinsley saying, but it didn't matter. She was still a needy soul and needed somebody to visit and care for her and those kind of things. So she'd call sometimes 3 o'clock. Brother Mark, she'd do it on everybody. Then that's what she did. She breathed like in the time. And I said, well, you want me to go? How could you come up? And I went up one time and there was a prayed for her and Sister Tinsley, all the ministering you do and tell her, encouraging the Lord to help her and all those kind of things. And she said, well, Brother Marty, would you sing to me? And oh, well, I don't know, Sister Tinsley, about that. And she said, Brother Sammons and Brother Tony always sings to me. And I said, well, it isn't going to be as hard on me as it is you. But if you want me to sing for you, I'll sure sing for you. And listen, I'm going to tell you my testimony, and nobody else was there to say that it wasn't the way it seemed to me. But I started opening my mouth and singing, and it surprised me how well I done. And it was because, there was something to give. It didn't mean that I felt capable. It didn't feel like that I was going to make a big, oh, well, now I can be a singer. It wasn't none of that. It was simply that I had a life and I had a part, and the church is my home and it's a part of something I want to see prosper. I want to see the kingdom grow. I want to see this thing work, and I want to put my part in it and try to make it work. And that's what the Lord wants of each and every one of us, to give what they've got to the whole thing. We're not somebody just supposed, you feed me and keep feeding me and keep feeding me, and you take care of me and you clothe me and you rock me, and you've done that for a number of years, and you keep doing it for a number of years, and you keep doing it for a number, and I never turn around and try to get, no, the heart is, Lord, equip me for this thing. Make me to have a part. But it's amazing how sometimes people, even with what I would call, hard places in their life, or maybe they're not as capable or not able, but how well God could equip somebody to do His work and become a blessing. Wednesday nights ought to be more than I have to go and maybe somebody will say something and it'll trigger something that I'll say, or I know that, but it's an act of that the Lord's got something and the Lord talks to us. There was a criticism here, right? I don't know if anybody heard about it in the news. Vice President Pence had mentioned that the Lord talked to him. I never doubted it. He's talked to me a lot. And I want to tell you this, I didn't even know who it was talking back when he was talking to me before I was saved, and the Lord was talking to me back then. And I know the Lord talks to people. Well, if somebody made a comment about him being, it was a mental illness. It's one thing to talk to Jesus, this person said, but it's another thing to hear him talking to you. That's the definition of mental illness. Well, I really hope under that definition that everybody in here gets really, really mentally ill. Because the Lord wants to talk to you, wants you to be able to understand what He's saying. And when I tell you later, the person that had said that had been forced to kind of backtrack on it. And this person, it was a woman. The woman ended up saying that she said, I'm a Christian too. I give my money. I get money to the church. That was it. I'm a Christian too. I give money to the church. Well, listen, given is pleasing to the Lord. When you give for a free heart, He wants a cheerful giver, somebody that can freely give. But if you think giving money is going to get what I'm talking about tonight, is totally wrong. It isn't just putting your money in the box, folks. It's giving your life, your heart, your ambition to care for something, to be a part of a family and want it to succeed. Now back when my dad, mom and dad was growing up, mom was one of 12, dad was one of 11 or 10, and they had big families, and by the time that they could hold a hoe off of the ground and hit it into the dirt was about the time they started working in the fields. And it wasn't, folks, it wasn't optional because it was a necessity of being able to make it. And so you worked. You was given a job and you had to do it. And the winters were long and it was cold and they needed wood in. And so they had to drag poles in and drag wood in and split wood. And they had to do those things. And it was expected by the time they started maturing and growing that they would be a benefit to the whole. They wouldn't be a detriment to have it be a benefit. And everybody worked together because light hands makes easy work. That's what the old saying is that, I mean, the more hands, the better it is and the more it'll do. And it's the same principle among the church. The call is to giftings of but the call to everyone. If you're here tonight, you got something to do in the kingdom. It isn't a drain, it's an adding. Let me add. Or in the words of one of our presidents, ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. Or I started around and saying, ask not what the church can do for you, but ask what you can do for the church to enlarge it, to make it better. Lord, help us. We're all a part of it. Take those things. If you need encouragement, you reach out for encouragement, but don't ever stop giving encouragement. Is it one person's job to encourage? No, it's everybody's job to encourage. Is it one person or two people's job to be inspired on Wednesday night? No, it's everybody's job. Is it a couple of people's job to pray for the revival? No, it's everybody's job to pray for the revival. Oh, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Come to a maturity and a place that the gimmicks, understand what I'm saying? The gimmicks of the devil aren't fell for. I'll give you a little piece of advice. You may say secular advice. When somebody calls you up and says you've won something, just tell them to send it to you. Just tell them to send it. That's what I do. Say, you have won. Well, I didn't know I was trying to win. What did I win? Well, you've won this and this and this. And I say, well, send it right along. I'll be glad to take it. Send it to me. Well, this is what you got. No, this ain't what I got. If you got something that belongs to me, brother, you send it to me. That's what I tell them. You say, well, in order to get it, you're going to have to give us your credit card number. No, in order to get it, I ain't giving you the credit card number. But if it's mine, you send it, and I'll be glad to have it. Some person says, well, there's a certain deadline on it. And I said, my heart is so big that if there's a certain deadline or there's only so many given, well, give it to somebody else. I'd be glad for them to have it. But one thing you're not going to get is my money out of my pocket. Not that I'm tight with money or it's ever concerning to me. It's just that I ain't paying something for something I win. If I got it, it's mine. Send it to me. And I want to tell you, it's a sleight of hand. I've seen it over and over and over. And I'll get to a point with this. One time I had a boss, and the boss come to me and he said, I said, hey, what's this? He had these surveying cards, magnetic surveying cards, which is a survey. And he had these cards that you stick up on things, and he had hundreds of them. I mean, hundreds. I said, what you doing? He said, advertising what you're handing these out? Oh, he said, no. He said, what it is, he said, it's this promotional thing. And he said, I won either $25,000 cash, a brand new Chevrolet truck of some kind, or a boat. And he said, in order to get it, it's this advertising thing that they do. And in order to do it, I had to buy these cards. And I said, how much you pay for them things? I said, I don't know, it was like $350 for these. I said, $350? And listen, this is back in the early 80s. I mean, this is $350. You gave $350 for that? Well, that ain't it. I get the prize. I mean, I won. I've already won. This is just something to do through this advertising thing. And I said, you got took. No, you don't understand things, he kept telling me. I said, you got, listen, it doesn't make sense that they're going to give you $25,000, but you got to pay $350. Because I know better than that. I just said, well, listen, you take the $350 out of the $25,000. Give me the rest of it, and then we'll be square. Give me the cards. No, this don't make sense. And so he went on, and I said, well, we'll see. And at the end of it, time went by. I knew he was supposed to have got his gift, but he never said no more about it. Just hush, hush, never said nothing. Well, come the time, all of a sudden I brought it up and said, hey, Mike, which one of the prizes did you win? You're supposed to have got that like last week or something. What prize did you win? Well, he said, I got the boat. Oh, you got the boat. The boat was, the illustration of the boat was like a bass tracker. Well, he got a boat and it had two little yellow oars about this long, and you had to put an air thing to it to pump it up. And it would seat two people in it, and you could have got it at Walmart for like $49.95. But he won his boat. I'm going to tell you what. Spiritually speaking, folks, we need to grow up. We need to grow up that everything, and we understand that everything that glitters isn't gold. Everything that the devil dangles isn't worth following. We need to have some discernment about what the world's doing and what the things are going around us, that we might set a good example to the world around us, that they can look on and know that that frivolous, we're not following that kind of stuff. That they look at our children would look and have a good understanding that we're people that follow the Lord, and the Lord's got wisdom for His people. Lord, help us. Here's what Adam Clark wrote about this verse. He said about men, the perfect men, about men that grow up in opposition to their childhood. He says, they grown up strong, healthy, has attained such a measure or height as qualifies him for the most respectable place in his environment. He's got to a place of maturity that he can handle the situation. He's trusted with life. He's trusted with the things around him. He's trusted to be able to make good decisions. He's strong against the enemy and not weak in those kind of things. But he says of a child. The child is ignorant, weak, unsteady, tossed in the nurse's arms or whirled around with the giddy sports or mazes of youth. Now, didn't that nail it? I'm not really opposed, and I'd be a hypocrite to say too awful much about it, because we definitely have the technology and the gizmos in my house with the ability to punch a lot of buttons and do a lot of things. We don't have the internet in our home, but we do have a somewhat quick access to it, and we have these different kind of things, and I want to help us to understand something, that don't allow it to become the giddy sports and mazes of youth. It's a useful tool, and it can be used for many things, and there's nothing inherently wrong about playing the games or those kind of things. But I will say this, it can really snag you and get you into frivolous time loss, just losing those kind of things, not doing the responsibilities of the things that you should do. If you're going to live for Lord and pursue the things of the Lord, it is a very involved thing to do. You need your mind to do it. You need your heart to do it. You need to be in tune with God to do it. And you could be in a position to where you miss opportunities of the Lord's making. If all that's going on in your head is a bunch of balls bouncing from one wall to the other, or something falling down into a certain group, or whatever the games that you may play now, and they're getting more realistic, and I've seen some of them said, wow, they really went a long ways since I played Pac-Man. You know, I mean, I'm an old guy. I mean, I played these little Pac-Man games on these Ataris or whatever it was. It went a long ways from that kind of stuff. But the way, but the time that is long, there's a seriousness. Oh, I wish I had better ways of saying it. I wish that there was more people inspired to lead out in prayer. More people that was inspired to be involved in the service. More people that was inspired with things. And not just do it, but inspired with inspiration. We'll feel it. We'll know it. It'll make the whole better. Add something to it. Don't just be a drain on it. Lord, help us. Each one of us have something to give, and it's valuable, or the Lord wouldn't have it there. The whole works better when everybody does their part in the whole. Lord gives a job to everybody, and for everybody there's a place to do it. And we all can make a difference. It goes beyond that. Your own enjoyment, your own joy of serving God is wrapped up in it. You'll never come to a full joy if all you're ever doing is wanting somebody else to feed you or do something. The joy of it is when I've got that from the Lord. You know what? I've seen it many times. At home we have, what, 512 songs in our book? 512. Then we have the blue book that has, what, 300? Well, there's a couple hundred anyway. There's over 700 possibilities for a song. And I've heard two people, different sides of the chapel, call the same number at the same time. I've seen somebody call a song that nailed what I was about to preach. I'm sitting there. Listen, we're all human. And there's preachers here. Have you ever doubted? Have you ever had a little doubt, not about the Lord, but a doubt about where you were at the time? What, whether the message was the right time and moment? I've been in camp meetings and places before and had a message and feel like it was a message, but I was a little hesitant about the timing of it. And Lord, is this right? And I'm praying, Lord, could you witness to me? Can you witness? Would you send a witness somehow that I could be inspired to know this? And somebody call a song? And that song, or somebody stand up and testify, and the testimony go directly to the spot that the Lord says, here's your witness. And you know what? That person that was in that place played a major part. A major part in the blessings of the whole thing. By simply being willing or being in the place or being in tune with God enough to know or to have that song. I appreciate special singing a lot, because a lot of times the special singing nails the message before the preacher gets up. He sets the stage for it. That's God working. We each have a part and a place to be able to do that. I have seen before, been knowing that I'm the minister, been ready to go and have somebody pray. And during that prayer, they witnessed to me through the prayer from the Lord. They witnessed to me that this is the right time for your burden. That is just so thrilling to me. Someone insinuated one time, you know, we believe in Holy Ghost leadership, and in our camp meetings with the ministers will say it, and the one that has it, and sometimes I can guess it, and sometimes I'm wrong, and sometimes I'll say, I think Brother So-and-so looks like he's got a burden, and all these kind of things. And I've actually said to my wife before, honey, I think Brother Dan's going to preach, look at the look on his face, and I'll stand around there, it's time for the word, and I pick my Bible up and go up, what am I doing? And there I go. And the Lord chose me to do it. But I want to say, someone said one time that, well, there's this kind of this hidden things, the way you lay a jacket or where you put your Bible, kind of this hidden signs that you give. And you know what I told one brother? Don't try to do that with me. Because I believe something and I need to keep believing it. So don't try. I wouldn't do it, folks. If there's no way I'd do it, because I believe in it, and if I'm going to keep on believing in it, I can't do that. No faking here. I want the Lord to lead us, and He can lead all of us if we'll grow up to that perfect man that He wants to make, and have a man that's strong and capable in a place. When I say men, I hope you all ain't offended in our modern liberal world that talks about, I hope you understand that this isn't gender specific at all. It's just the way the scripture says it. It's women, everybody grows up to the fullness of what God has for them to do in the whole thing. Oh, and it'll be so rich, because we want, I want to say this, in the natural world, I expect certain things out of my children. I expect I more than expected it. Well, I'm from my boys. I more than expected it. It wasn't just, well, I sure wish you all would do something. No, it was more than that. The expectation was a lot stronger than I hoped that you would. I was pushing pretty, I would push hard to say this, and I didn't have to. I didn't have to. That was accepted, that if they grow up and they're going to have a home and family, they're going to take care of it like men. And you know what it means? It means that sometimes the weather's bad, but you still drive on it. And sometimes it's cold, and you bundle up for it, but you go to work. It means sometimes there's hard things to do. You get wet. I used to take care of my family. I had to go in the coal mines and crawl around the coal mines and get soaking wet and come out at 10 below and do all those kind of things and through the night and drive the night and all those kind of things. And I worked 36 hours, 40 hours straight before and done those kind of things. And you know what kept me doing it? I'm the man. I'm supposed to do it. It's what I've got to do. I don't slack from it. I don't shrink from it. I grab a hold of it and I get it done. And that's what you're supposed to do. And that's what we have an expectation that you're going to do. And it shouldn't be no different than this either. But it's not the age of your body. It's not the age of your physical age. It's growing up in the Lord. It's becoming mature enough to be able to stand spiritually, to be able to do something spiritually. The prayer of faith isn't just, the prayer of faith can be prayed by anybody that has faith. You can't serve God without it. So you can pray. I know the Lord blesses certain people with gifts. But everybody can have a part to do things and to step out. And Lord, help us to be willing to step out. Scripture in Isaiah, very familiar scripture. Isaiah 6. Seventh verse says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have I touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And now the Lord is asking or saying to us, you were a babe in Christ once. You didn't know anything. You were immature. You didn't know anything. But I put you've had the time of aging. You've got the information. You've got the things there. And now he comes to the part and says, I need a workforce. What is that? What is that song? I used to hear it sung more, and I ain't heard it for a long time. The table's full, but my fields are empty. You like sitting around the table. It's good. A lot of good stuff around the table. A lot of good fellowship around the table. You like sitting around the table. We're gonna partake. I didn't fix the food. I didn't do it. The Lord's doing it. We're sitting around the table. But he asked a question. Or made a statement. The table's full. But my fields are empty. Is there anybody that's willing to leave the table and work in the fields? Is there anyone that's willing, as the Lord says, to Isaiah, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Is there anybody that would be willing to call the pastor and say, call on me? Is anybody that's willing to say to the Lord, you don't have to say it to anybody else, you can say to the Lord, Lord, if there need to be more people praying, pick me. let me be somebody that steps out. You say, well, I'm going to embarrass myself. I know the feelings. I do. I really do. I know the feelings of public things. I know it's what if I don't do it right? Or what if it ain't rhythmic enough? Or what if I ain't eloquent enough? What if I don't say words right? What if I don't say that? Well, what do you think I'm doing up here? I mean, I'm the perfect antidote for it. I'm the perfect example for someone that don't say everything right. My grammar's poor. I say words wrong, all those kind of things. But I'll give you my heart and passion. I'll give you what the honesty of my heart. I'll give you what the Lord gives me. It's the best I can do with what the Lord does. That's all He wants. He wants you to say, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. So this is my testimony. Yours will be different. From the time I got saved, I didn't just go to an altar one time and get saved in a moment and that was it. It took me days of praying to pray through. And when I got saved, I appreciated it so much and I found something that I said, I don't want to lose this. I'll do anything to keep it. And I told the Lord that. Lord, you save me. And I'll go anywhere. I just want to be saved. And the Lord saved me. And blind by line, the Lord started working in my life. And I was the furthest person that I ever thought imaginable from a public speaker. I couldn't imagine doing it. But the Lord has a way to help us in our lives. And it helps to be a blessing. I'll say this, if you desire to do it, just do it from your heart. Just slow down. Don't have to try to impress people. Just do it to the Lord. And the Lord will make it work. It'll be right. But I told the Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And, you know, I used way before I ever had a calling that I called mine. I'd go to work sometimes, and I'd be listening to these services, and I'd be listening to the singing, and I'd be gone, and just now this thought would start hitting me in one thought after another, and I'd be there in it. Sometimes I'd preach the best message I ever preached, I know, was in my car going across the mountains over there. Oh, it'd just be on me, just go like that. And there'll come a time where the Lord gave me the mind to work for Him. I want to do it. But I didn't know how. But I wanted to do it. Brother Tony comes to me one time. And he was in the barbershop actually. And he said something about, but sometimes Brother Sam was gone. And he was doing the preaching. And said sometimes we need an adult Sunday school teacher. And he said, you wouldn't be willing to do it, would you? And I said, yeah. Yeah, I'd be willing to do it. And I think it kind of surprised him. It was kind of like, you would? And I said, yeah, if the Lord would help me, I'd be willing to do it, you know that. But it wasn't like it was like right now. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it will happen sometime. He was asking about that. And then like in a week or so, the Lord just gave me this thought. And it just started building on it and building on it. And I didn't understand because I hadn't been there before. But He's building on it and building on it. And if it happened to now, I know what was going on. I've done it too many times. I know. And it was right there. Well, I thought, oh, Brother Tony at least call me like on Saturday night and say, you know, tell me. But he didn't. It's like Sunday morning. And he calls and says, did you know Dad was out of town? And I said, I didn't. And he said, well, he's out of town. You wouldn't have to have something for Sunday school, would you? And I said, yeah. Yeah, I sure have something for Sunday school. You know, when I was 13 years old, my sisters went on vacation, and me and my brother, we done all the outside work, and the girls done the dishes. So me and my brother, we said, you know what? Girls are gone this week. Let's help Mom out. Let's do the dishes for her. So me and my brother, we got in there. And you know when you want to do something you ain't made to, you really get the gusto to it. And we put the elbow grease to, we cleaned that kitchen. And you know what my mom said? She said, them boys clean better than the girls do. Said, they need to do it. And from then on, we had to swap weeks with the girls. I said to my brother, we messed up. We messed up. Well, I took it on and the Lord done it. And you know, after that, I was the Sunday school teacher. The Lord blessed it. You know, I'm just telling you the way the Lord works. I wasn't able to just far off and go minister. I know that, but the Lord started working with me. And after some time of working, just doing adult Sunday school class, the Lord actually prepared me for years of evangelist work. To not doubt the Lord in what He was doing. There would be times that I would seek the Lord for a good lesson all week long without inspiration. I don't know if anybody else ever felt something like that, but boy, I did. I sometimes would all week just seek and search the Lord. Lord, what do you want? And there's been times that I literally was in my seat before I had it. But the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord never one time failed to inspire that. Never once. But He would make me trust, wait. Lord, what am I going to do with this? And the Lord give me the exact thought and inspiration to take it and do something with it. And there was times, and I'm going to tell you, I learned. But when I get through, there's been times that I get through with one Sunday school lesson. And by the time before the service, day service was over, I had another one. And I could tell you right now what that meant. I was going to have one rough week. The Lord was giving it to me early, and I didn't have to seek for it. And a lot of times I'd look back and say, I don't know what I had done. Had the Lord not done that, I ain't had time for any. And the Lord would work in like that. And there come a time, and I'm going to tell you this because I want to inspire you. The Lord's able to work in your life. This was my experience, and I still look back to it today. It's not of me, it's of the Lord. And there was a time that Brother Tony preached the message on a Sunday night. And the message was, I was already doing Sunday school and all that, but he done a message, and it was one of them, who shall I send message? Who will go? And I'm sitting there looking around at everybody in that chapel trying to put that burden on them. I know the Lord's talking to somebody here, but who is it? Looking around, the Lord, and it all come back. It kept me, him. But what he's saying is just me. And I felt a feeling of, Lord, not me. I just would never be able. I don't feel capable. I feel humbled by the thought. Sometime after that, I had a dream. Told this many times, but it's my experience. It's real to me. I had a dream where I looked over. I was looking down over on the bottom side of this great wall dam. And on the lower side of the dam, the saints, nobody in particular, just the saints were down there. And there was water springing from the bottom side of that dam. And the saints were frantic going around. It was going to break loose and you have to stop the water. And it was frantic. And I looked down there and said, this is bad. This is bad. It's about to break, and it's that, and all of those people are going to be destroyed. And then somebody went and they looked and they saw me and they said, there's Brother Marty. He can stop it. And I was like, I can't do nothing against it. I mean, and they said, yes. And all of a sudden everybody starts saying, Brother Marty, you've got to. I mean, you've got to do it. And I said, I can't do it. What am I going to do? And he said, you've got to do it. You can do it. And it was so humbling. And every time I touched one of the spots, it just stopped. And I went along the bottom of the wall just touching it, and it stopped. And in my dream, as I did that, the same feeling of that service sometime before was on me. No, I can do that. It can't be me. And but I was there in my dream saying to the Lord, Lord, if I can stop the tide, if I can do anything to help your kingdom, I'll do it. And I woke up from that dream with that on my heart. If I can do anything to stop that tide, I'll do it. Who will I send? send me. You know, the Lord's got something for each and every one of us. It's real to me because that's my experience. But there's one for you. There's an inspiration for your job too. There's an inspiration of a song, of a night dream, maybe a daydream, maybe a vision, maybe different things, but there's something for each and every one in here. I don't know why God does what He does, but it's real. God communicates and works, and He wants us to have it. And when we get it, He wants us to share it. We're not just to be taken care of. We're to grow up to be adults and give what we've got. There was a woman in the scripture. She had two mites. She gave all that she had. She gave it all. See, the Lord wants you to give your all, and it don't mean your pocketbook. It means your all. Give it all. Lord, if I can do anything, help me to be able to do it. Inspire me to do it. And I am not trying to be your Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will lead you into that place. And you may say, I want to be somebody that leads out in prayer. And the Lord says, okay, but I got something that fits you really well. And it'll bless everybody. It'll be what you really need to follow and pursue. And the Lord is able to talk and help each one of us into these kind of places. You believe in dreams? The scripture talks about them. They're real. There was another time that this was Sister Irma's husband was in a battle. I'll be honest with you. I was sometimes out of the loop and on. I still remember the night he passed. And I didn't know the seriousness. I knew there was a battle, but I didn't know the seriousness of the battle. And I laid down on my bed. And when I laid down, I don't know if you've heard this before. I laid down on my bed. The instant vision come into my mind, and I saw a man. I couldn't see his face. There was a big hat over his face, and he was out in the waves of the ocean, big, gigantic waves of the ocean, with a double-oared boat, and he was boating. I mean, he was laboring with that. I mean, he was laboring, and the sea was about to overtake him. The storm was about to overtake him, and it hit me so solid that I jumped up out. I didn't go to sleep. I laid down. I mean, instantly it came. I jumped up out of there and said, what was that? Lord, is there somebody in trouble? Well, I didn't even know what to do. I said, Lord, what was this? And I got down on my knees and started praying. Lord, this man, I don't know. Is there a man really on the sea? Is there a man in trouble? I started praying, Lord, see him through. Help him. And while I was laboring in prayer and praying, I saw the man in my bed. The vision came back. And instead of being dark and gray and storms raging, now it was a beautiful sunny. And he beached it and come out on a beautiful sunny time. And I said, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. He made it. He made it. Whatever it was, I thought I'd never know. In about 15 minutes, I got a phone call. Said, Brother Bob passed. He passed. When did he pass? He said, well, he called you about 15 minutes ago. The Lord has something for all of us to do. If you're in the place that you'll do it and grow up to it. You know, there may be somebody laboring at the last moments to make it, and it'll be your inspiration that God will call for. I need a man. I need a man right now. I need somebody devoted and given that's listening. Somebody that wants to do the work of the Lord. I want to call on them right now to see this thing through. It can happen that way, can it? God sees the whole picture and you and I don't see it. We don't see the whole battles. But when we're just children, we're just looking for the next video game. We're looking for the next thrill in service. I love the thrills in service. Let's get a good one going. But you know, we want to, Lord help me here. But sometimes we just want to strike up emotionalism. Forget the emotionalism. We'll be emotional. I tell you, when the Lord works, emotions will come. Well, don't try to whoop up emotions. That's just children's play. Consecrate yourself. Grow up in the Lord. And the Lord will work in your life and you'll see those places and you'll see emotions enough. Oh, there'll be emotions enough to go around. But the Lord wants us to grow up and not be children. Not just concerned about the sports and about the mazes and about the games and the normal things and the young people gathering. Hey, listen, this is not critical of young people. You know what young people ought to want to do? They ought to want to go to young people's gatherings. And you can be an adult, spiritually being a young person too. But there'll be times when you start doing that, that you quit crying when you don't get to go. There'll be times when you grow up beyond that and see the purposes of God, you'll quit the childish things and start embracing the things that God wants us to do. And He's got something for each and every one of us. I think there was another scripture, what was that, Ezekiel? That the question was asked, who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to stand in the places that the wall's been broken down and the enemy's going to come on? Who's going to be the mighty man? You know, David had his mighty men. Now these were men. One of them fought the Philistines over the barley ground and he kept the ground. Or the lentil ground or whatever it was. He fought. He said, everybody else was running, but the mighty man stood there and he slew his thousand standing there. Almost like, till the sword gripped through it. He couldn't let loose of the sword because it gripped it so hard to his hand. He stood there like a man in the gap and fought for what belonged to him. Who's going to stand and fight for Church of God doctrine, not man doctrine? Who's going to stand for the doctrines of God and stand and fight against the devil in this day and time where it's trying to destroy all of it? Who's going to stand with the standard? You know what a standard represents? A standard is exactly what it says. A standard was a flag, and the flag was used to say, in Israel, there was setting like, I think there was actually putting three different groups, the 12 was, and so there'd be four different standards that they carried. And it had the standards, and what the standard represented was the place they was at. This is where we stand right here. The armies would take the standards, they'd go to war, the standard would go with them for every ground they conquered, the standard was there to proclaim, this is where we stand, right here. Our standard is much the same way as we conquer the land as we have it. We have a standard. This is what we stand for. We stand for modesty. We stand for holiness. We stand for righteousness. We stand for purity. This is where we stand, right here. We stand against evil of all kinds. We stand against untruths. We stand. This is where we stand. Our standard. There was a incident, if I'm not mistaken, it may have been at Gettysburg. The Battle of Gettysburg. Man, they was charging a hill and the standard bearer was running with them and got shot right out from under the standard. Another man picks up the standard and takes off. Down. Pow! Down goes two standard bearers. Third man grabs the standard and takes off. Bow, down goes the third man, fourth man, fifth man. You gonna be sixth man? You gonna be sixth man, pick that up? Sixth man picks up a standard and goes on. Bow, down he goes. Standard just got to go on. Men that says this is who we are and this is where we stand and we're willing to die for it. Now there's no cause like that I would give that much credit to, but there's a cause of God that's worth dying for. They said to David, you up here you want to see the battle. I know the naughtiest of your hearts. And he says, is there not a cause? And he looks around to the other side and says, is there not a cause? Is the things of God not worth fighting for and keeping? It ain't going to be an army of children that fights this thing. It's going to be an army of men. It's going to be an army of adults that stand up for it and hold it right through. I appreciate the children. Don't get me wrong, children. You know how they pick on you sometimes? Young people get picked on a lot. Well, I'm picking on the older ones tonight. This one's a pick on the older ones. You've been saved long enough. You've been saved long enough that you ought to have more part in it than that. To put more and divine in it. I can't sit and judge that. Of course I won't know what you do. I don't know how much you're on your knees and all that kind of stuff. But I want to say that the Lord wants to call all of us to the perfect man. He gave these things to edify, to build us up until we'd stand there in the sight of God, the perfect man, able to fight the battles that we have, stand for the right things, and put in my little bit. If I got something, Lord, it's yours to have. We all have a job. You have a job, I have one. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.